Wow. 45 minutes. I can fill in. I don't know about y'all. I can't ever that long. For those of you that don't know, Dustin mentioned Pastor Andrew is on vacation. Be praying for them. He and Charlotte and two children. For those that don't know me, I am Robbie, the associate pastor here. And I appreciate Pastor Andrew giving me an opportunity to stand before you this morning. And we're going to be continuing in Romans, where Pastor Andrew started a few weeks ago. We're going to be picking up with a couple of verses that he stopped at. Y'all hear me? Hello? I hear me. Y'all, everybody says they hear me. So it's loud up here. But anyway, here's what I want you to do. Before we dive in here, I want you to think about images that you've seen, whether photographic or in person, that describes the majesty of God. Think about places you've been, things you've seen, that when you saw it, the only thing that comes to mind is we serve an incredible God that is incredibly creative to create this, whatever it may be. Just think about that. Some of you, I'm sure, have been to some incredible places. You've seen some beautiful things and think, God has blessed me that I've been able to witness some things that when I look at, I just go, only God. Only God. I had a chance several years ago to take a mission trip to a place, to a country called Botswana, Africa. We took forever to get there. Oh, my goodness. I mean, the flight was like 23-hour flight, and then it was another ride in the back of a Jeep-looking contraption for several hours. And while we were there, the missionary said, we want to show you some things one afternoon. And so they took us out, and where we were staying, it was as flat as could be, with bushes just kind of set up around. You could see bushes. They called, and people lived out in the bushes. They called them bushmen and stuff. But they took us from Harboroni, which was the capital of Botswana, out to an area that you couldn't see. And we get out there, and all of a sudden you see these, just kind of a mountain-looking thing in the middle of nowhere, and we're heading towards it. Well, they took us out to see some creatures I've never seen in my life except on National Geographic. And but something that it was kind of funny, but it illustrated to me how incredible our God is. Well, we're out there, and they're taking us through, and we do see different animals that I've either seen them in a zoo or in pictures. That's about it. But we come upon like three giraffes. We're out there. And the giraffe, all three of them stayed together. And I got a picture of it somewhere because I thought it was hilarious. They see us, and they're very inquisitive of us. But they move to the other side of a tree, and all you can see is their head looking over the tree, looking down at us. And I go, they really think they're hiding from us, though. They don't think we can see it, and I'm going, there's three heads sticking above a tree, you know. And so we drive around, and as we go around, they go around. It's like we're going around a tree and we're trying to see them. They're going around a tree trying to hide from us but look at us at the same time. And I thought, you know, how incredible God is. Create, I mean, such a beautiful animal that's out there that's just inquisitive. They want to know what's going on, what's happening around them. But then we're looking at them in their nature, where they're at, and the landscape was just absolutely beautiful. And as we left from there, I thought, only God can create something so incredible. So incredible. And if you remember what Pastor Andrew preached on last week, he said, we have no excuse to believe that there's a true God because all of creation cries out that there's a God. I don't know if you remember that, but that was part of what he was preaching on last week from Romans chapter 1. This is a continuation of that. Well, we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. But if you remember, Paul wrote the book of Romans. He wrote it to the church in Rome. During this time of his writing, Nero had been in power for about 3 years, but they were living in relative peace. The persecution had not... them saying, we've got to start at ground zero. So he starts writing the book of Romans with doctrine for them to understand what we're called to be as believers and what we're called to understand. And the book of Romans is an incredible book of doctrine about our faith and what we're to believe that points to God's plan for salvation, which is what it's all about. And so Paul's writing this to stand as young believers and grow in their faith. Now, understand, if we're studying on Wednesday night in the book of James, understand the Bible is written and the writers write with a purpose in mind, but what they address, they're addressing because it demands to be addressed. For instance, James is writing what we're studying on Wednesday nights, this past Wednesday night, about wisdom. Why was he addressing wisdom? Because the believers he was writing to were struggling on seeking godly wisdom. So he's addressing that. So Paul is writing this, and we're about to get into it. He's writing this passage that we're going to dive into because there's an issue with serving and worshiping the one true God. They're new believers, and they're just learning. And maybe their passion and their love is not focused on what it should be. Through 23. Understand, this is following what Pastor Andrew preached last week about creation, calling out as one true God. All right? Here we go. You can join me. It says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they become futile in their thinking. And their foolish hearts were devised. They become fools and exchange the glory of the mortal God for the images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Now, understand this. He had just said creation calls out there's one God. And this is following that, okay? To sum it all up, I hate to do this at the beginning. He said, you're worshiping, when you fall here, you're worshiping the created and not the creator. And that is so easy to fall into. Verse 21, I want you to see that God, the creator, following upon what we did last week, reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us through creation in itself. It cries out that there's something bigger, there's something greater, there's something much bigger than we are, even our understanding, and that is God. He has created this, and creation calls out for that. You see, God created us, part of that creation. He created creation because he loves us. He pursues us. He created us to love him back, to pursue him back. And sometimes we get things kind of twisted around at times. He created us so that he could walk with us through our garden. God wants to walk with us every day of our life to bring us purpose and to bring glory to God himself. That is our purpose in life. God has revealed himself to us through creation, screaming out, I am God. I love you. I want to walk with you. I want a relationship with you. I want to walk with you through every step you take in your life. In this passage, verse 21, it says, even though God cries that out, creation cries that out, says this. I'm going to find it here. Here we go. For although they knew God, although creation screams it out, okay, although all that is happening, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him because they become futile in their thinking. In their foolish hearts were darkened. Even though God cries out to us, they had people in the church at that time that was not pursuing and worshiping God as the one true God. Other things were taking the place of the one true God. So understand that. God calls us out, and we have no excuse to realize that we have a God that loves us, pursues us, and reveals himself to us. So here in this passage, in this verse, God reveals, but yet they still were not worshiping the one true God. What happens is very, very simple. In the passage, it says, when the created becomes greater than a creator, no more than God, it's just foolish. It's just foolish. Now, here's what I want you to think. When we say this, I want to bring the created home a little bit. Because whether we worship the created that is not God, whether it's nature, let me tell you a story. I find this comical, and because it was the first time I got to experience this. I got to go on a field trip with a bunch of eighth graders one time. Kim's back there going, oh, no. I didn't say a word. I didn't embarrass my daughter or anything, okay? I just kind of sit there and absorbed what was going on. And they took us to a beautiful mountain in East Tennessee. We were in East Tennessee called Bays Mountain. Our house was on the side of Bays Mountain. It was an incredible sight. But they did a field trip to top of Bays Mountain because there was a planetarium and all of this up on top of the mountain. We needed some parents to go. So we go. And we're walking through, and you were seeing God's creation. I mean, it's beautiful. There's a lake up on top of it, and there's all kind of stuff. It's there. And as we get out there, and everybody, parents, are assigned certain, you know, four or five kids and things like that. We're standing there, and then the instructions come. And the instructions were this. You must get in commune with nature. I want you to go find a tree, and I want you to wrap your arms around the tree, and I want you to converse with the tree and spend time with that tree. I'm going, I don't know about you. I'd rather do that with my wife than a tree. I don't know. Okay? I'm going, okay. Well, I had some kids that knew me. They come up, what do we do? I said, go hang out with a tree. I don't know. So I'm telling you this. I mean, that's a true story. I was like, okay. But here's the deal. We created instead of the creator. You know what we've done? We have elevated the created above the creator. Here's what we've done. We have now elevated ourselves above the Creator because we have now determined in our mind, in our heart, what is more valuable, what's more important, of more wisdom than God Himself. And we make the choice of putting that, whether it's in nature or it's in science or it's in our own self, it all comes back to ourself. It is a choice we make. And so when we elevate the created above the creator, we have now elevated ourselves above God. Because we have now said to that we know more than God to put something above him. And God is saying, it's all wrong. Think, he says, it's foolish and your heart becomes darkened. And I'm going to explain that in just a minute. But it's like, I want you to think about this. How foolish is it to say, let's just say, it has changed, it has gone, and really it does incredible things of what it's programmed to do. Y'all remember who created the Apple computer? Steve Jobs created. This would be like saying, he created the computer, but 30 days later, we don't need him anymore because the computer can take place. Okay? Simplified. We would never be where we are today if we said, this is it. The created is now better than the creator. You see, how foolish is it to say that God created is superior than God himself. Is that not foolish? And he said, that just makes no sense. That's foolish. And he said, and it leads to a darkened heart. Here's what it is. And it's a very slow fade this way. It don't happen overnight. When someone starts worshiping something other than the one true God, you don't notice the fall from God's authority right away. It's a very slow fade. It's a very slow fade where we start changing where our heart and passion is. I'll give you an example. Personal experience again. That's all I know to use. Had someone that I knew very well that was extremely knowledgeable of the Word, of God's Word. Extremely. He knew it brilliantly. Yes, that word I was trying to say. He started having some questions. And having questions about God's Word, there's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But he went to the wrong place to get wisdom and advice for. And next thing you know, this person that was well-founded in God's Word started questioning a few things about God's Word. And it went from questioning something that really wasn't life or death or changing theology that much to actually questioning the very beginning of God's Word. And next thing you know, not only is he questioning it, the thing that comes out of the mouth was, creation is nothing but a story to illustrate what God said. It didn't happen that way. And so I had a chance to sit down with Josh McDowell and his son. I don't know if y'all know who they are. They're brilliant when it comes to understanding theology and apologetics and some things like that. And I sit down, and Josh McDowell's son is actually a graduate from Harvard with a degree in theology, then a doctorate in some science field. He's a brilliant young man. And I had a chance to sit down and talk with him at a conference, and I was sharing with him what I saw happening with this individual that was a teacher of God's Word. He said, if we don't get a hold of it, if we don't change, this slow fade starts snowballing. I go, explain it. And so he explained it to me, how it would happen. And he said, what's going to happen is the denying God's Word here leads to denying it here, leads to denying it here. Next thing you know, in this slow fall, it's a total denial of who God is. They're not there. It's a slow fade to that. And man, my heart broke. 5 years later, that's where it is. That is where it is. Slow. So understand that when we don't worship the one true God and we replace the one true God with something else, it's a very slow fade to eventually we don't even know who God is anymore. It's a slow fade. We establish our truth over God's truth, and God says, that's foolish. Here's how it works. What we fear, and I'm not talking about scared, boogeyman scared. What we fear, when I use the word fear, I'm talking about reverence and respect. What we fear the most leads to our belief system, what we believe. And what we believe leads to the truth that we build our lives on. And the truth we build our life on is what we worship. Is what we worship. If that gets anything off of the one true God, we will find ourselves worshiping anything but the one true God. And it comes down to a heart of worship. Dustin stole my thunder very first thing this morning. This is actually talking about who we worship and worshiping the one true God. Keeping our worship focused on God and God alone. When we replace God with our truth, understand this, our truth, what we determine to be right and wrong, it's going to change. Look in society how what we have seen to be accepted has changed over the years. It changes. And I tell you what, it scares me to think that I put my truth, my life in the hands of what society determines to be true, because if I'm on board with it now, you know what? 10 years down the road, I'm going to be on the outside looking in because it changes so much. But if my life is built on the very truth of who the God is, all I got to say is, it's the same truth when this word was written, same truth today, and it's going to be the same truth tomorrow. I can rest assured that my life is built on something that's not going to change on me in the middle of it, because it's true through all times. Worship is to be of the Creator and never of the created. So here's what I want you to see. God reveals Himself to us through creation, through His Son, and through the revelation of His Word, God's Word. He reveals Himself to us through that way. And a lifestyle devoted to worshiping of the one true God has incredible promises and benefits that come with it. Sometimes we don't even think about it, but here's what I want you to think. When we pursue and worship the one true God, worship becomes a spiritual weapon for us. Here's what I mean. Despair. Because to be honest, so many things will lead to that apart from God. But despair. Despair is a weapon that Satan will use to throw at us over and over and over to try to get us down. It is a weapon used to beat us up. What is despair? It sounds like this. Despair is hopeless. Things will never change or get better. There's no use in fighting it because I'm only going to lose. You're always going to fail, so victory is never in sight. You're not loved by anyone, no matter how hard you try. That is feelings of despair that we'll get into. And Satan likes to beat us up because when we're there, we're not effective for God whatsoever. Because we're fighting, in a way, we're fighting for survival. All these statements or versions of them is Satan trying to get the best of us, trying to limit our ability to change our world with the hope and love of the gospel. Even great men of the Bible have fallen into times of despair. Elijah in 1 Kings. In chapter 18, the Lord did an incredible work by defeating the prophets of Baal. Okay? In verse 19, he had fallen into despair because he started listening to words of Jezebel and he retreated into the desert because of despair. John the Baptist, after he had baptized Jesus and saw the incredible work of God and the Holy Spirit through that and commissioning Jesus into the ministry, when he went to prison, he forgot who he was in Christ Jesus. Fell into despair. Peter fell into despair after denying Christ. Fell into. Here's the thing. Everybody deals with this at some time and point. But these great men that were in despair, they were brought back around because God, their focus was on God. And God used their worship, their devotion, their passion for God to bring them back into full restoration with God Himself. Our circumstances may lead us to discouragement, but if we focus on God and worship God, God does an incredible thing. Let me tell you this. When we worship, we are now in God's presence. When we worship, we now see the very majesty of God. When we worship Him, we see His love and His pursuit for us. And when we do that, Satan's little darts are not effective anymore. I want to challenge you, if you're struggling with anything, whatever it may be, I just use despair as an illustration. When we focus on worshiping God, whether it's that you're at the house by yourself, you're driving down a road, I tell you, me, I get out and work in the yard and I got my head, it's me and God. Satan has no power to defeat us when we worship the one true God. He has no power. So here's the big idea. I like to send everybody out with a big idea. In other words, the main point. If you don't remember anything of what we read through this, here's the big idea. Worship of the one true God allows us to feel His presence, encounter His majesty, and experience His love. When we worship God and we don't elevate the creation over the Creator, we experience the greatness of God. We can only worship the one true God, though, if we've responded to His revelation to us of who He is. If we have given our heart to Him, if we've said, God, my life is not as it should be. I can't control it. I need You. And ask God to forgive us and come into our heart and be our Lord and Savior. Then we can worship the one true God. We can live with Him. As believers, sometimes we need to be reminded that we allow things to replace God in our worship. I'm going to tell you this. How easy it is, even as a pastor, how easy it is to allow something created to replace the Creator. My kids growing up, they were real active. Our son was very, very, very athletic. Was forever being recruited to go and play on different teams and go represent them on things. And he had the opportunity to travel, I don't even want to know how many different states, and play ball. It was a struggle not to say, I can't worship God this week because this is more important. That was a struggle. That was a struggle. It almost comes this way. And Kim will tell you, it was a struggle that we had to fight against of saying, we will worship God if it's convenient this week. We'll worship God if there's nothing more important going on this week. We'll worship God if I don't have anything else to do. Even as pastors, that is a struggle that we all face. We all come up against. And you know what we're struggling with? Elevating the created over the Creator. That is what we struggle with. That's not to say that we don't go and celebrate times, but I'm talking about a lifestyle of worship. That's what I'm talking about. Worship is our weapon against the attacks of Satan. Keep our focus on the Creator, not the created. Just for the sake, I never read the message for the most part. I never preach from it. But for the sake of it, I decided this morning, I was going to see what the message said about these verses. And it put a smile on my face. It made me chuckle. And Kim says, I needed to read it because it was kind of funny. But it does hit home. Are you ready for this? The passage from the message of Romans chapter 1, verses 21, 22, and 23. What happened was this. People knew God perfectly well. But when they didn't treat Him like God, refusing to worship Him, they trivialized themselves into silliness and confusion, so that there was neither sense nor direction left in their lives. They pretended to know it all, but was illiterate regarding life. They traded the glory of God, who holds the whole world in His hands, for cheap figurines that you can buy at a roadside stand. I read that. I said, it hits home. It was really, I thought it was kind of comical as I read it. So our challenge is don't settle for anything less than the Creator that loves us beyond our understanding, pursues us even when we don't deserve it, and gives us a hope that don't make any sense sometimes through Jesus Christ. Do you worship the one true God, or do you make a substitute for something else? Do you know the one true God? As we close this morning, we're going to close with a song that we did a little bit earlier, but let me encourage you this. where you are, if you want to come pray, come pray. But if you have never given your heart to Christ and you want to know more about it, you got some questions, feel free to talk to me or Dustin or anyone else that you may know that loves Jesus, pursues him. We'd love to share more with you about what it looks like to give your heart to Christ and to pursue and worship the Creator. So let's pray, and then we're going to, our closing time, our invitation type time will be a song that Dustin's going to lead us in. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we don't have to settle for cheap substitutes. We don't have to settle for anything because we've got you, the Creator, Father, that we can worship. The Creator of all things, Father, the one who loved us from the beginning. We've got you that we can pursue and we can love and we can worship. And we thank you for that. And I pray, Father, that everyone here, that we just make a daily commitment. It's taking up our cross every day and following you. It is making a daily commitment to worship you, the Creator, our Father. And I just pray, Father, every one of us makes that commitment that we will pursue you with the passion that you pursued us. And if there's anyone here that don't know you, we just pray that this be a time you speak to their heart, answer their questions, Father, and just lead them to a relationship with you. We thank you for letting us come into your house today to worship you and maybe just study and gather just something, Father, a little bit from your word that will help us be better followers of Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let us stand together.